Captain Robert McCormick of the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment found that in eastern Baghdad, the vehicles that seemed to come under attack were that of soft skin and did not have any weapons noticeable or present. A more official military study warned that to be defensible, convoys should consist of at least 5 vehicles. The most vulnerable convoys were small ones of 3 or 4 vehicles, especially those in which rifles were not held visible and at the ready. Smaller convoys cannot produce enough firepower to fend off attacks or deal with casualties, it said. When possible, travel in large convoys, cautioned Major Eric Estep, who was based at the big supply depot at Balad, the destination of dozens of convoys every day. His PowerPoint presentation of a study of insurgent tactics against convoys also noted that they tended to attack the last vehicle. To counter this, he and others recommended putting heavy firepower there. The need for this aggressive posture was repeated often. It is true that the meaner and more prepared you look that you can return immediate fire, the more likely they'll think twice about attacking, wrote Rann. By contrast, Brager reported, some National Guard troops were so slovenly that they invited attack. We've noticed the convoys that get hit more often are ones with soldiers out of uniform. The guard guys usually travel in flak vest and t-shirt and do not pull security when they stop. A Marine summary of Army lessons noted that in the lead truck in a convoy, the driver and gunner tended to be too busy with their tasks to adequately scan the ground for roadside bombs. It recommended that a 3rd soldier, equipped with binoculars and night vision goggles, be posted in that vehicle and be trained and ready to take over the machine gun should the gunner be hit. In another extraordinarily specific convoy lesson, Morgan trained his driver to take wide right turns in major intersections because, he explained, on turns, most IEDs, if not all, are placed on the inside turn. But several commanders warned in their reports that one thing worried them even more than roadside bombings or convoy attacks: complacency among their troops. Complacency is the number one killer of soldiers, reported Lieutenant Jessica Murphy, an MP officer. This is the one that bites most units. She said that even units being shot at can start treating missions as routine. To keep an edge, Captain Paul Evangelista, commander of an engineer company in the 10th Mountain Division, sought to make sure that all soldiers went on missions outside the base, that is, beyond the wire. Support troops, such as mechanics, cooks, and clerks, tended not to leave their bases, with some hardly going outside them during a 1-year tour. The inevitability of casualties and the need to train for them was a recurring theme. Rann said that the image that would remain with him was watching a burly platoon sergeant cup the head of his wounded medic and quietly tell him that his left arm was gone. His grim message to the incoming troops: it's real, and the cost is real. Guys get hurt, and guys die.